Hi, guys. Welcome back to yet another episode of The American Dudocracy. Four butts in the seats again. Man, we are loaded up. It's good times here. I'm still working on this, sawing this log, Dave-O. How you been, buddy?
Oh, my gosh. Good. You know, we are having some storms out here in Colorado. And, of course, spring's in the air. The robins are back. The buds are blooming. And I'm telling you, I can't be happier.
Normal buds, if you know
not
what
the
I
green
mean.
Ones. No, mm-hmm. I haven't tried those yet.
All kinds of buds are blooming right now in Colorado.
Yep. How about you, Kamikaze?
You know, springtime's my favorite. I love it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you get these storms move through, and it kind of dampens the mood. One week, it's like, oh man, it's like 60, sunny. It's like woohoo. And then it's like snow and rainy and crappy and cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's emotionally trying sometimes.
Yeah, it sure is.
Overall, it's good though. Yeah, all good.
Got a special guest with us today.
Hello.
Yeah, podcast number two, Dalton. What's up, buddy? Yeah.
No, that was the first one just a little bit ago, and that was awesome.
I believe your name is Roger Dodger.
Roger Dodger.
My bad. That's right.
Correct. Roger Dodger.
You gotta get name Phonetic. Tags. You gotta get name tags. Roger Dodger. Make it easy, right?
Got the IT executive producer,
Mike Drop. Magic Mike.
There you go. I have to borrow some of Dave's music.
I appreciate that. I do.
He does. Really he does do. Have good music like yeah. that. Yeah, yeah. Every time. All the time. Yeah,
makes you get up and get moving.
Yep. Every day is a dance party.
Yep. Okay. No, I love it. It's great.
That's right. Well, sitting in here, man, we were talking about dude stuff like hairdos and fashion. And nonsense. You gotta love it, man. Dave, how long do you say your hair was? One point in time? Did you ever have like hippie hair, dude?
Well, I think you need to set the stage currently, since there's no video.
Oh,
how long
bad.
Is your current hair, Dave?
We need some micrometers.
Yes. Yeah. I shaved it because everybody made fun of my mullet. Okay? I'm being real here.
Have you shown them a picture of your hair before, though?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, you guys haven't seen it?
Dave,
you guys are
you
in.
Do you have any photos?
Not with me.
It's your father-in-law. You need to have some dirt on Dave. We need some Dave dirt.
I'd have to. I don't know if he's got anything on Facebook or not.
Yeah.
Could you dig some up? We'll give you our phone number before.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Oh yeah, I'll give you our email.
But it matched. Look, it matched the year. I'll say that.
If you don't have any, your wife will.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she does.
AKA Dave's daughter.
I used to be handsome in the day. At least I thought I was, but I look back.
Hey,
and
I
wasn't.
I liked it. It looked nice.
Dave's a pretty handsome dude, man. He's,
oh yeah.
You ever see him in his SpongeBob chonies?
All the time. It's like his face. It's like his go-to when he's at home. He's sitting out front in the lawn chair and just
these guys have some dirt on me here.
Oh,
I know
man.
It's coming, so you might as well just get it out. Get
SpongeBob
it out.
Of course, boxer Dave on the front.
Of course, he's wearing the boxers that are just very. They got the front slit, and they're kind of just. He's just kind of hanging out, and you roll up, and you're like, whoa. Yeah, get on, dude.
Hey, Pops.
Yeah.
Cover that up, would you?
Yeah.
They were rolling out all right. We,
yeah, they were.
Little morning meeting, sitting around the table, doing that. So we used to do an ops call, right? So we'd get together in the morning and we'd have a quick ops call. The whole like operations team, the whole field company and a couple guys over in Denver. And every morning we'd get together and be like, all right, here's what I got going on. And we kind of fill each other in on what we had so everybody's aware and talk about anything specific coming up, blah, blah, blah. It was pretty good, informative, not formal.
I
it was
liked
like an informative get together, you know what I mean? Kind of team it's building good. And awareness and whatnot. And we're all sitting around the table, starting our ops call in the morning. We dialed in and there's like 12 of us. Is that about right? Maybe 12 of us around the rifle table.
And, I'd say a dozen. Yeah.
Hit start, dial in the number, get started. And right as the meeting starts, who saw it
Darcy.
First? Darcy.
Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy was
Darcy
sitting
was
over.
Sitting next to Dave, and there I was across go. From Darcy.
And that, you guys are in like an office right now?
Yeah.
Okay. An office meeting
table.
Deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Multi-million dollar office and
high rise.
Really fancy glass.
First floor.
Yeah. High rise and rifle.
Nice.
The only high rise and rifle was Rib City. And, we're getting ready to get started, and all of a sudden, laughter breaks out kind of on the other side of the table.
Oh.
And we're trying to, like, keep together. And we're like, finally, we can't stand it. So we're like, what in the hell is going on over there? Well, Dave's SpongeBob undies had come out of the bottom of his pant leg and were hanging out on the floor. And it just happened to get noticed. So that was the entire ops call was about Dave's boxers.
But your boxers were down coming out of your pant leg?
Darcy couldn't keep it together. Yeah, so laundry, I guess. And they were in his pants. And they just happened to fall out like right during the meeting.
You guys don't understand. The real truth is that...
You did a magic trick?
I did. They were actually on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
During the meeting, hands in the air.
Very nice.
And there they are on the floor. It's magic. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was our safety meeting for the day.
Now he named his boat SpongeBob too, I think, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that.
One of them was SpongeBob, the second one was Bikini Bottom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, I'm a SpongeBob fanatic because I raised my girls on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot of adult humor if you really listen
to it.
It really does. It's pretty funny stuff. I mean, some of it's a little obnoxious, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, me and Allie were watching a little while ago just for fun. I'm like, I used to watch this all the time. Yeah.
Anyway, we can move on.
Actually, you got me a pair of SpongeBob
I did.
Shorts. You sure did.
For Christmas.
For Christmas.
Man,
he sure did.
Level of the story, man.
There we go. Hey. Keeping the legacy going.
SpongeBob. I didn't get a SpongeBob boxers.
Let me get my pencil. I got to write some notes.
Yeah.
I'm just glad the Bikini Bottoms didn't come out of the pant leg.
Yeah.
At least not that I saw. Allegedly.
Well, I'm going to keep them on right now.
The G-string bottom.
That's right. You got to keep your hair short when you're, that's your fashion, I guess. Oh,
yeah. Well, yeah. It's what you don't know.
Right. What I don't know, I don't need to know. That's right. We'll just take that from the military also. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
I don't need to know, buddy. I don't need to know. Well, man. Yeah. Well, fashion tips, good stuff.
So hair gel, Dave, any thoughts or recommendations?
No, but I've got a great buffer. If you're bald, if you shave, I've got an automatic buffer in the bathroom. Flip that sucker on, stick your head in it, and I shine like crazy. It's amazing.
Do you ever use one of those four-way shaver things that you can buy?
I've never tried those.
Dude, my younger brother has that, and he loves it.
Really?
He loves it. It works really well.
Is it nice and close? And
yep. Huh. Yep, it's a good shave, man. You might check it out.
Okay, I'll try it.
And Dwayne, when are you going to check it out, buddy?
I'm kind of in the middle here, right? So you got Harry Matt.
He's Sasquatch.
That's right.
Just ticks me off how beautiful his head of hair is. He keeps it short, but it's still... And Dalton, too. Man, I'm impressed.
Yeah,
you got to
hold on to it.
Yeah. And then I'm kind of in the middle. I'm like between Dave and Matt, I guess, at some level. So yeah, I've got the best of both worlds. I've got the gray as well as the like losing hair now. So it's so
distinguished it's and wisdom.
Yeah.
Go good. Together. Yeah.
You still got a decent amount on top, though.
Really good.
So yeah, don't resort to shaving it because it's
I keep
still
it long. If I were to cut it short
no
as Matt.
No offense, Dave. You look great. You look great.
So the question is, at what point do you like shave it?
Right. I think you'll have to ask Dave that. I'm not.
Well, my turning point was my ex-wife had cancer, so I just never brought it back. Now, have I dreamed about it? Yeah, I've dreamed about having hair, and it's like, what in the heck is up top? Because I would never comb it like that. That's the weirdest thing about dreams is like.
The way you did comb it?
In my dream. Yeah, no.
I got to find a picture to show you guys.
We really need to see it.
You got like cranial hair. He got long enough hair. He probably have cranial head when he takes off his cranium.
Oh yeah, yeah. I will admit I was kind of a dirtbag. I had a low fade and my hair was probably a little bit longer than it should be. But I actually combed my hair, looked decent, shaved my face in the morning. This is military speaking, but honestly, I kind of do the same thing now. But
I've shaved one time clean since I got out.
No kidding.
And my daughter cried.
Really?
Like seriously?
Your head too?
I bet my head shaved. I used to shave my head like Dave's. I used to shave it all the way down just because. Like, I don't like hair. Like, as soon as it touches my ears, I gotta get rid of it.
Yep.
Same with a beard. Like, those few times that I like grew my beard and had my beard down to like my chest.
Yeah.
Dude, it just gets, it's too much. Once it becomes something I have to do, I'm like, cut it. I'm such
a hassle.
That's what I enjoy about it now.
I'm such a non-hassle.
Yeah.
But see, I still polish shoes. Like an idiot.
Really?
Oh yeah. I got like church shoes and I like spit shine them.
So that was during, that was your era for sure. So my dad, he worked at the sheriff's department in South Dakota, but like I said on the last episode, he retired out of the Marine Corps and he was drill instructor, recon, all these things. So he's just, you know, very uptight and looking good and sharp and everything. So he'd spit shine his boots at the sheriff's department and everyone's like, dude, what kind of boots are those? And he's like, they're just the regular ones, but they're like, why are they so shiny? He's like, shine them up. And they're like, what, how do you shine them? And I'm like, looking back, I remember my dad like having to shine his boots all the time. Cause you wore the black leather ones in the military, right? So yeah. So, the amount of hours. And so I wore the chocolate flight boots and you had to have a polished toe on those. And if you haven't sat down and polished some boots before, that's very meticulous work. And yeah, my dad did that all the time. And everyone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. As kids, we had church shoes, like you're talking about. You'd have the brush, you'd have the kiwi polish, the rag.
Yep.
And
the trick is a little bit of water and a lighter.
A lot of polish.
Yep.
It's a
lot of elbow grease.
Yes. It's a very
patience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patience is key.
They look nice though. And it does set you apart. It really does. Yeah. My dad got a lot of compliments.
Do people even do that anymore?
So now
everybody's wearing tennis shoes and of course my Tevas.
And even military.
I polish my flip flops.
What do we have to use on the core frames? What was the edge dressing? Edge dressing. Oh, yeah. Oh man.
How terrible is that, dude? I've been out for that long and I'm like,
yeah, you can remember it
right on the spot.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a bit ridiculous. I'm looking for a picture here. I'll share with you guys.
You can take Matt out of the Marines, but you can't take the Marines
you
out
can.
Of
the Marines. You can't, man. I'll hear a word and I'm like, whoa, who just said that? I haven't heard that in forever.
Make you snap to attention.
Oh, absolutely.
What the hell's that? It's still ingrained in me. It's weird. Yeah.
Touch on deck. Watch everyone flinch.
Some of the things, you know, you talk about that, like some things in your life that you do for a short amount of time are just ingrained in you forever. And I think the military in particular is really, they're really good at that. Like, you know, boot camp's 3 months, 13 weeks, right? And I still to this day will catch myself when I'm walking. I'll still catch myself like straightening up and not bouncing. And to this day, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're brainwashed.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Those are some really good attributes coming from the military. A lot of these military guys are preferred. I mean, just like you were for drilling rigs and so forth because of your discipline.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with discipline.
Yeah.
And self-control.
There's my church shoes.
Ooh, yeah.
So we're missing
man.
That.
All polished
those are,
up.
Those are slick.
Dang.
Have you ever polished with brown polish?
Yeah, on chocolate flight boots.
I've never polished brown, and wow. I did those too. Like I said, I'm a brainwashed dude. I was sitting in here like, I'm going to polish some shoes today, get ready for church.
That's satisfying.
It's pretty crazy.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. I'm a nerd. I got before and after pictures of my shoes. Like, what a nerd. Yeah, before I polished them, like I'm entering a stinking contest or something.
No, even like the shirt stays that we had to wear. It honestly makes you look so much nicer to have your shirt constantly pulled tight, you know, instead of all baggy. And so even when I wear any kind of slacks with a dress shirt, I put shirt stays on because honestly, and everyone notices too. They're like, how do you have your shirt tucked so tight? And it's like, kind of show them. They're like, what in the world is that?
Is that something you attach around through your crotch?
So no, not the crotch.
Explain that to us.
But there's a... It goes on your shirt. So it's just little clips. So it'll clip. There's four of them. You clip them on. So it's two separate shirt stays. Each shirt stay has two clips that you clip onto your shirt. And they have some that wrap around. They go all the way down your leg and you just like hook it around your heel. It's just elastic. And then you cinch it down so your shirt stays tight, pulled down into your pants. So you don't have like this bagginess when you sit down or whatever. Mm. They have a couple of different versions or whatever, but honestly, it looks really nice if you want to wear a dress shirt and it like have like all this junk up front, like when it's just hanging out, it keeps it all nice and tight. But anyway, you had to wear them in any kind of dress uniform in the military. But if one of those suckers snaps off though, and it'll shoot right back up into your leg and it'll get you. So you got to look out.
Yeah. They're like ours were like elastics. They were each an elastic band, right? And they had a buckle that you could tighten or loosen, and ours had double clips. So you'd clip one to your top of your sock and one to your shirt, and you would tighten it down, and you got to where you would take the one in the front, wrap it around your leg to go to the back, so that way it would pull your shirt flat and back, and the ones in the back to the front, so it'd be nice and square all the time.
Yep.
And they like,
so oh, they're kind of weird. They're really weird.
When you sat down, would it like pull your pants down from the elastic thing?
No, you could see them at certain times, right? Because if you were wearing like your slacks or whatever, your dress pants.
Okay.
And if you bent your leg, you could kind of see them, but you had to know what you're looking for. There's just kind of that weird thing. So when you're looking at like military people in uniform and you're like, man, how does that uniform stay so in place? There's things holding everything in place.
Oh, the amount of,
comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's like the buddy system too. When you get ready for any kind of Marine Corps ball or whatever kind of event where you're in dress uniform, I mean, it is like you look each other over. It's like, all right, let's fix this, let's fix that, and
tighten the corset.
Yeah.
Your girdle's sagging.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a million things, man.
Yeah.
But it's all for a purpose. You know, it's kind of like your job when you get ready to do anything, you know, being thoroughly prepared, you know, like Dwayne touches on it all the time, man. Like that extra 10 minutes to be prepared, getting up early, getting things ready, like being prepared for things can set you apart in life in so many ways.
Well, yeah. The saying we use is, what's the difference between a novice and a professional? It's like 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So if you put an extra 5 or 10 minutes into whatever you're doing, that is the difference between a novice level work and a professional level. Right. So same with the dress. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is, so I do transports, secure transports. One of the things that county's got a pretty big hefty checklist for things that we have to have in our car, including an AED, defibrillator, kinds of different things. Yes. How much is it?
Real quick, just cause I have no idea. $2,000.
They're a couple grand, but you can pick them up on eBay, you know, and you got to really watch what you buy.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's battery life and there's shelf life on some Chinese of the pads and everything. You
can't just use jumper cables, Dave.
Go to that 220.
It's like, don't worry. I got it off of Wish. You'll be all right.
But you're going to die.
Yeah.
So I did have an incident where, thank God, you know, a car was coming up a ramp. This meth head lost control on an overpass. Took a motorcyclist out. Oof. Right in my camera.
Jeez.
So immediately I pull over, my blinkers go on. I think you might have seen this.
So you have a camera, a dash cam in your car when you drive? Yeah,
front and rear, because I want to watch passengers. I want to record because, you know, if something happens in the cab, then I'll have proof and different things.
That's not required?
It's not required.
It's just a really good idea.
It's a good idea.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So anyway, I was able to flip my trunk open, pull out my pack, my emergency pack. The AED was there. I rented a first aid to this guy on the overpass till the troopers and emergency vehicles showed up. And I'm telling you, I was happy that I had all that. So my policy was every car has them now.
Well,
being prepared.
So to touch just on that note, right? So small business owners, when we say that that's what powers the entire nation, right? Small business owners. So here's Dave on a business venture of some sort, right? And because he's prepared, he has his stuff there. He's went above and beyond. He has his stuff ready to rock and roll. Like here he is rendering first aid to somebody.
Yep.
Until first responders can show up. Like that's the kind of stuff. That's why we need small business owners and people out there doing their thing, because it's, man, that's what makes the world go round.
Well, that's a couple things. So that's showing that you're materially prepared. So you got the right tools and whatnot, but you also have the right training, right? Because you can't just go roll up and provide CPR and first aid to people without being certified in that.
It's true.
Right? And us, you know, we all get that as an industry, because that's definitely a requirement for what we do. Marines too, right? You get it. So yeah, that's the second part.
You know, one of the things I did appreciate about oil field is listening to some of the things that could happen out in the oil field. It scared me when I first went into the oil field, all these gases and explosions and H2S fires and H2S.
You breathe it, you die.
Yep. And how to assess a scene. You do not rush in and just go grab somebody, because chances are you're going to be part of a problem and another fatality if you're not careful. And I just, that training for all these years, I appreciate it, even though some of it became monotonous after a while. But being prepared and knowing what to do in a situation is definitely something I think everybody should do. Well,
so that's a business thing for sure, but that's a man tip, right? Like, mm-hmm. be prepared.
Absolutely.
You never know what situation you're going to come across. So be prepared, right?
And that's a question to ask yourself, right? As a dude, like, are you the type of person that people come to, that they can look to in those events? Or are you somebody running around like your hair's on fire? You know, and we've all been in the situation where we were probably the person running around with our hair on fire. We'll learn from it. You know, what can you do differently? It doesn't take a lot, you know, that extra few minutes, really, to be prepared and be trained, you know, be resourceful. Well,
and
right?
I think knowing just some basic, like, physiology too. Like, when things happen, your brain kicks in. They call it the lizard brain. Your amygdala takes over, right? And your brain is set up that way because it's the fight or flight instinct. That's your amygdala kicking in, right? So it really, you take control, unplug your brain, and you get your little lizard brain in the back that controls your body, right? And that's by design. That's how God created us to escape a bear.
And you're just right. Like the motor function. It's like, okay, this is what you're gonna do. I got controls.
Do I flight, freeze, or fight? What which three am I doing right now? Right. So when that happens, you don't have thought, right? That's why there's all sorts of stories about people wigging out and like murdering people, doing some crazy stuff when they get pushed into that position. They don't know. That's that whole temporary psychotic thing. You lose your ability to think for a little bit. So recognizing that and just taking a minute, like, okay, whoa, calm down, take a couple breaths, deep breathe for 30 seconds, and then just let your brain take back over control, right?
Yeah,
I think that's key. It's hard to do, but man, you have to know when the amygdala takes over.
Yeah,
because when it takes over, you truly lose control. That's when you see people freaking out and doing crazy stuff is when that happens, right?
Well, what's interesting is, I mean, you two being military and you having some discipline with, you know, in engines and air and so forth. One of the things that part of a group that I'm with, we always practice. If you're practicing it, it's what's going to happen. So if you have bad practices during your training, that's exactly what's going to take over, because your fine motor skills are gone at that point. You just go to raw, whatever you practice.
Train like you fight raw. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
So if you're not training the proper way and you don't have those motor skills, even the rough ones tuned in, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Exactly. That's key for flying too. I mean, obviously they beat that in at civilian flight, military times 10, right? But yeah, you train for that. And I had a situation where I had to rely on that training too. Mm. So yeah, good. It's important to have for sure. Sorry, what were you going to say, Dalton?
So I wanted to touch back. You were talking about just being a guy or whatever, and just like the duties or whatever. But random thought. But yeah, like when you're in a group, when I'm in a group and I'm looking around, I'm, you know, guys have that like scenario thing. You're like, okay. What if someone walked through that door right now? What would I do? And I look around at like a lot of places, and talking about the military thing and just how, you know, generally they stay in shape a little bit more, look a little bit more sharp, or, you know, have hobbies of just activities where they stay fit or whatnot. But yeah, I look around and I'm like, out of everyone in this entire room, I think I could probably run a little bit quicker. You know, be able, I probably have the know-how a little bit more than the majority of the people. And so I put it upon myself in my head where I'm like, okay, if something was to happen, I'm going to have to step in. I'm going to have to do something, like, cause at that point I feel obligated, not because I think I'm better. It's just people there might be older, or, you know, they don't have that kind of training. Like, I feel like that would be not right for myself to walk away from a situation knowing that I could have done something because I had the best know-how and the best tools and whatnot. And so, yeah, just being a guy and looking around, like, you need to take on the responsibility and be man of the house or whatever, and just be ready for something like that. Cause you never know. Cause when that day comes, you're gonna look back and be like, dang, I really wish I took a couple extra seconds and learned how to do this, or, you know, or if you're in a situation, oh man, I wish I, knew how to start a fire without a lighter or this, that, and the other. So yeah, just be helpful to other people. If you have the knowledge, you know, share it and help.
Step up and be a man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Be a sheepdog, right? Like situational awareness.
Yes. Key.
Yep. You know, situational awareness from everything from sitting in traffic, you know, leaving a little buffer zone where you can get in and out or you can move to in a store. Like, and it doesn't take a lot. Like, you can just have a conversation, like with your family. Have you actually had a conversation with your family recently about what if there was a fire in the house? What if this? Like, just these couple little things. And if you just talk about it, you're already 100% more equipped to handle it.
Absolutely.
Than just, oh my God, my hair's on fire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, then you're just kind of adding to the chaos. So it's, I feel like it's a duty as a man and as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, as, you know, a patriotic American. I feel like as an American, especially, you know, you should feel that.
Absolutely.
I think half the time, you know, when you walk into a place, there could be a crazy emergency event and 75% of the people won't even look up from their phone.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
No one's aware. And you were talking about situational awareness. Yeah. Because it is those weird things like, huh, where's the exit from here? Something happens and you don't have to be weird about it, but it's just, it's something to think about. And like the military training part of it or whatever. Yeah, it's just things to think about. And especially in other countries, you see all this stuff going on and people getting absolutely slaughtered and this, that, and the other. And then just in my head, it's like, I am not going to go out that easy. Not a chance.
You know, what's crazy is I have actually taught many situational awareness classes, and there's certain things. I mean, you touched on it, you know, where are the exits? And somebody comes into a room, they're dressed a little bit differently. What are their intentions? You can see that immediately from their eyes.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So
learning how to read people.
Are you watching the chick that he's with? Or are you watching him? You know, he's dressed differently. I mean, churches have gone through this. They have people that come in the auditorium with these big trench coats, and you know, they obviously have some malicious intent. And so, you know, just being aware of things like that. And as a man, aren't we supposed to do that in our own home first?
Yes.
Fire extinguishers.
Yes.
Where are they at?
Absolutely.
You know, how is my family protected? Do we have a escape plan for certain things and events and so forth? And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm trying to pat myself on the back, but we did have, we had a second story house, two of them, when the kids were growing up. So we made rope ladders for them to tie onto their bed. They were already tied onto the bed. The ropes were under the bed. So in case there was a fire below, the girls knew that they were supposed to kick the screens out, throw the rope out. And we had knots tied in. And, you know, my daughter could tell you the same thing, that we had those kind of plans going, but aren't we supposed to do that as men?
Absolutely. And with everyone here, I mean, how many safety briefs have we all been to? You know what I mean? And how many, you know, something happens and we have a safety brief because of it and following OSHA rules and everything else. So it's like, we all have this basic understanding of like, okay, you live in a wood box, you should probably have a fire extinguisher, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, you live on the second floor, you should probably think about, oh, how am I going to get out?
Plans, yep.
So it's just basic things that people don't think about until it's tragic. And it's like, wow, didn't think about that one. I
shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
good.
Pretty amazing, Dave, to have that kind of planning. You know what I mean? Like to think, and it takes, what, 10 minutes to set it up? But that's peace of mind. That's how you sleep at night. You know what I mean? With things like that going on, it's, you know, that's one of the things that really attracted me to the oil field out of the military. Dude, you can say whatever you want about the oil and gas industry, but what I will say is they are second to none on readiness as far as making sure there's so many moving parts and pieces and equipment and working out in the elements 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and to keep things moving and progressing and keep things on track and safety. Dude, safety, from the time I've been in the oil field to now, it is an entirely different oil field. Because people realize the value of people. And I know that sounds crazy, but I speak to other people in other industries, And they are a good 20 years behind where the oil field really is with their planning, their training, their discussions, their safety meetings, their readiness and how to handle things with emergency response from anything from environmental disasters. And you learn the importance of redundancies, right? So like in your home, redundancies, an alternative power source, or do I have enough water stored to live for a couple days? Like how easy can your life change without water in your home for 48 hours?
Or power. Yeah.
Or power. Yeah. Dude, heat. You know what I mean? And having things.
And we're coming to that very soon.
We are, you know, without getting too political, you know, the push that we have coming down from our government, taking us to unreliable energy sources and the brownouts, the blackouts, and the population growing and everything becoming more and more electric. And we're fighting over electricity as it is. And then we're taking reliable sources out of the grid. So just be aware. I mean, have those conversations, man. Look at your life and think of what if.
Yeah. And I think maybe exercise a little bit of common sense with that too, as far as don't go crazy overboard. I've kind of had a change of heart a little bit. We had a prep talk here a year or so ago where we really talked about how prepared do we need to be, right, for the zombie apocalypse or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, you know, if the world falls apart, if our stocks go to zero, if America's down the tubes, you got a lot more to worry about than, you know, I don't know. People are going to be killing you for water, right? So, I don't know. So, there's a point where I think it makes sense to prepare. Yeah, prepare for 2 weeks. I think we talked about that. 2, maybe 4.
No, I totally agree with what you're talking about. Because people do go wild.
If you're prepping for like 2 years, it's like, dude.
Yeah. There's no.
You cannot be prepared for 2 years
I totally agree.
Without community, right? There will be other more important things that come up. And by the way, that means that the rapture has happened. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Christians are gone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing but the non-saved here. And this will get super chaotic, right?
Last 3.5 years, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be mm-hmm. bad. So
it's going to be awful.
Well, it shouldn't.
Be prepared.
Yeah,
but don't go super crazy overboard with it.
Right.
Stuff's going to happen. Little blips, power, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, generator, some fuel.
But you still know, live your life, right?
Yeah, like, live your life. Absolutely. Don't freak out.
And I try to tell people, too, when they start getting like crazy like that, like, oh, we got to have a generator. We got to have this and this. And I'm like thinking back. And when we built our house up on Glade Park, I moved up here when I was 10, lived on 40 acres and lived in a camper. And people are worried about having, having a big generator. That's nice if you, you know, need to keep stuff going, whatever. But I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, we lived on a tiny generator that wasn't strong enough for a microwave. We hauled our own water. We, you know, so you go back to like, what do you really need to survive? It's like a lot less than what you got now. So everyone's like, well, I need this much power to do this and this. And, you know, we're not going to have AC. And I'm like, you're in the shade, dude.
Yeah, you're not going to have light at night.
Like,
either.
Have you ever gone camping or like backpack? Like, not you realize.
Have, not going to have Facebook.
Yeah. That's like my last deployment. It's like I packed up and it took me like 2 hours. And I'm like, man, this just reminds me of like, what do I need? Okay, clothes on my back. I got my passport to get out of here and my ID. And besides that, I don't need a phone. But yeah, phone's nice. But everything else is replaceable at that point. So it's like, all right, I'll figure it out. You don't need as much as what people think. But
you know, in the scope of humanity, how long has AC been around? Just in the last...
Well, those window units on those old cars, what was that? That was like 54...
Yeah, so four, it's been, yeah, 70 40? Years, something like that. That's it. I mean, before that, there was no such thing as AC, right? Mm-hmm. It was ice.
Go down to the ice station and
yeah,
by the time it gets
box.
There, it's half the size.
I think people could stand to sweat a little bit more.
Absolutely.
You know, just personally speaking, I think it's, you know, yeah. I like 70 degrees. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to die if it's 90.
No.
Like, come on, man.
It only takes like maybe 3-4 days of just that kind of heat. And you're like, all right, whatever.
You know, what's funny is I've always said, you know, if things get really sketchy and, you know, they will at some point, we don't know when, but. Look who's surviving right now. Go look at all these camps on the desert.
Yeah.
Think about this. If and no offense, right? the bums will survive because they have survived on nothing.
Look at that. Imagine that.
Tents and, you know, buggies and so forth. They will be fine because that's the way they've always lived.
I think a big part of prep, if you want to like prep at all, you know, you can get into it a little bit with like, you know, a little solar panel or battery pack or whatever, but learn how to start a fire without a lighter, learn how to make a basic shelter, learn how to go shoot a bow, go buy a bow or go buy a little 22 rifle, learn how to shoot. Like, I feel like that's going to take you so much farther and get you into hobbies that you can do. Buy things that you can use now. Like, oh, hunting would be a good skill. Oh, I think I'm going to go hunting this year.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm going to go work on my physical fitness. I'm going to go hump with a pack. You know what I mean? Like,
go kill a deer.
These are all things that don't buy, you know, 10 years worth of food that's just going to sit there. Like, go buy a rifle and go hunt for your food now. And guess what? You can continue that down the road, regardless of, you know, go learn how to make a fire. Go practice when you're camping. So
skills will trump materials.
I agree.
Every day of the week. And if you already know those, a lot of those things, then the best thing you can do is teach, right? Your family unit, teach people those skills, because you're going to need community more than you're going to need 100 years worth of food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be relying on other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't let it consume your life, man. Like, life is a beautiful thing and you should be out talking with people, getting to know people, learning your community, bringing your community up, teaching people things, helping people out. Like, bonds and relationships, man, are where it's at.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, if you had people that were with you and you guys can all share, and this is kind of going back, but when you're talking about small businesses like running America or helping America or whatever, because that is the American dream, and how you're talking about how you stopped and helped or whatever. That's what America is all about. Everyone takes their own skills and we all come together and we make stuff happen. You know what I mean? And I think that's what it needs to be. But, you know, we're getting into more bigger companies and people just kind of doing mindless job that half of them usually don't even like, you know, just sitting at a computer. But no, small businesses where everyone can get together and help each other. I'll do this, you do that kind of thing. So I wish it was more like that.
You know, in some of the groups, a lot of these guys have different skills, like somebody's a blacksmith, for example. I do know one of those guys, and so he can bring something to the table. Hone your own skills.
Yeah.
What are you good
at? Absolutely. Bring something to the table.
Or what do you enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that, man. It's, you know, but having those relationships are where it's at.
Yep. Absolutely.
Knowing who does what and who can do what.
Yeah.
And learning from each other. You know, and right now, you know, to take advantage of right now. Like, if you can learn how to hunt right now as a hobby and everything is kosher and great and all you have to do is learn, then you get to learn at your own pace.
Yeah.
You know, not oh no, how do I figure this out? Yeah. Right?
When it really comes.
On the hunting, so my son just turned 12 and he's at the perfect age. So I got him through hunter safety. I also went through hunter safety when I was 12. So that's been a while. So this is a good refresher for me too, because it's like an online, and then you do.
Oh, is it online now?
Half of it is. Okay. Yeah. Then you go and you do the culmination class at the end, where you kind of, you know, that's when you do the shooting and whatnot. But
yeah,
if you don't know anything about hunting or anything about guns, it's very easy, and all the states have it. I got mine in Montana, where I was born and raised, and I got my son through the Colorado one. But every state has a hunter's safety program, hunter's education. You know, it's different things, but start there, right? Sign up. It was like $75, so pretty cheap. And it's a 2-day class online, and then 1-day culmination class, or 2 days in person, but pretty easy to do. And you come out of there with a wealth of knowledge, just identifying what is a deer, what is an elk, what is a moose.
You
probably need to know the difference between those if you're hunting. Right?
That's probably some jail time.
There are people. Yeah, exactly.
That's a once a lifetime tag.
What time of year do the deer turn into elk?
All right.
When they shed their horns, it's a female now, right?
I was asked that on the mountain in Utah when I was growing up. California couple rolled in to Red Canyon Lodge. I was up there fishing and they said, "Are you from here?" I said, "Yeah." They're like, "What, man, we want to get out and see some animals. And, you know, are the deer still deer or did they turn into elk already?"
They actually asked you that?
I'm like,
Oh boy.
What? Matt's like, yes.
Are you what?
They did.
Like,
they
you better get out there quick because here pretty soon they turn from deer to elk and elk to moose. So
yeah, look out.
Well, and then back to bear.
Yeah.
In Bozeman, Montana, I worked at this the airport, the not the commercial end, but the private end. And there's this big bugling elk, like just a bronze statue, this beautiful elk. And I can't tell you how many rich people flew in on their jets. And they get off and the kids are, Mommy, Daddy, what is that? That's a moose, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Deer.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a big deer.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Really?
Bullwinkle.
Seriously. That happened quite often. Like, wow. Oh, my gosh. These guys are idiots.
Have some. Also, I advise having some good recipes for prairie dog stew.
Oh, yeah.
Your neighbor's cat some or dog. Yeah.
Sandwiches.
That would be a good one because you can always steaks. Eat your pets if you have to.
Yep.
Yummy.
Prairie dog. Some bubonic plagues.
Yeah.
Flick the fleas off first, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. But
dip them in diesel. Diesel. Rotisserie.
cook faster that way too.
Yeah, yeah. Less you know, deep less fry. Combustion.
Diesel mm-hmm. deep fry.
Use them as your fire starter.
That's funny that you mentioned that though about them not like knowing what kind of animal it is. And I'm like, I feel like that's a big thing that we need to teach too, is just animal identification there. And even like plants. I mean, plants are like, you can go way into that, but it's like, yeah, knowing what kind of animals there are and what they are and whatnot. I think that's super important.
You know, berries and crap. Like if you're in the wilderness and that, my knowledge of that is not where it needs to be. Admittedly, man. If, like,
oh, me neither.
What berries are edible and which ones there's you don't eat?
Try getting into mushrooms. I look at that and I'm like, shoot, oh my.
Some of those are great.
I'm like, geez, but yeah,
stay away from the bad
this
ones.
This can kill you. This one looks very similar, but this one's delicious.
I have a tip. This one is $20 or $20 a little bag.
Yeah.
This one's at the dispensary. I have a tip for you, Dwayne. So if you're out in the wilderness and you don't know what berries to eat, you can just find bear poop and eat the berries that are left in bear poop.
That's probably really true. Choke cherries out there. And
yeah.
You just gotta kind of flick through it.
Yeah.
They're just chocolate covered.
They're already softened up a little bit too.
Yeah, right? Partially digested. Yeah, it's like baby bird kind of.
Right.
They're already broken down a little bit for you.
Yummy.
You gotta love it, man. The world is a wide place. There's a lot of awesome stuff going on, but you never know. You never know. Be a little prepared. A little conversation. I think the hunter's ed thing, man. Just basics, like we consider
you don't
that
have to
basics.
Be a hunter even to go through it and gain a ton of knowledge. They're just, and that's a lot of history too. Like, where do we come up with this? It's conservation, and the big key, another big takeaway, just real quick.
No, you're good.
The when we hunt, it's an animal conservation, right? People don't get that. They're like, some people are like, "Ooh, you're a hunter, you kill animals." Like, no. If we don't go out and hunt and conserve the resource, they will overpopulate.
Absolutely.
This land, and they do studies on this. That's a CPW, Colorado Parks and Wildlife. They do studies and they find out, okay, this terrain, this area here can sustain 100,000 head. Right now we have 120,000 head. So they're going to issue 20,000 tags for this particular species, right? So it's a way to conserve the resource. We're not going out and slaughtering all the animals, and then all of a sudden, I mean, and there's big time rules against poaching, and I mean, just don't even think about breaking any laws with hunting. It is big time tough.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's the but whole it's, conservation. People have this, they have no idea.
This mindset about hunters.
Yeah.
And not from Montana. It's like, it's a foreign to me. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's what you do. You hunt, right? Montana.
Yeah.
Same with Colorado, but people don't understand that it's a way to conserve the resource, right?
Well,
and
money.
If you're not shooting them and using it for good.
Yeah.
My wife can't do a lot of just regular cow, right? She can't do a lot of beef. So we kind of need elk. So we've been blessed to have a couple elk the last couple years, and it's wonderful. You get a lot of meat and just it's excellent.
Dude, so elk is probably lean. One of the healthiest red
so
meats.
Good.
Not probably. I think it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be.
It's organic.
Fantastic. Super lean.
Organic.
It's vegan.
vegan, organic, yeah,
non-GMO,
grass-fed, yeah. free-range,
and they don't fart, so it's good for the economy.
They're not yeah. cows.
Harvested,
good for the environment.
Harvested right here in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. And the bigger yeah. you can shoot, the bigger moose-looking ones, and you get more meat.
Oh yeah, way
the
more.
The horns are the moose. They got these horns coming out their head,
and then dudes with khaki shirts being like, "All right, ticket time."
Pretty crazy, man. And then on the flip side, if you're looking for just general firearm safety, Dave, you're the guru, buddy. Give us a plug, man. I know you do a bunch of training.
Not a guru, but I mean, you know, if you know the general operations of a firearm, which is really helpful to anybody. I mean, how does this thing work? You know, what does the primer do? What's the just the basics? It could save your life, number one. Number two, it's about safety.
Safety.
The whole purpose of these classes that you're talking about is about safety and how to handle these things. Because if you don't and you don't practice with it, then you're probably going to be in trouble.
Right. So the hunters that will walk you through the basics, the different types of firing mechanisms, right? They'll walk you through all that stuff. And that's the basics. But if you want to get more advanced, go to the next level, that's when you engage Mayor Dave.
Oh, there right? we go.
With more like a self-defense class, which I haven't done that yet, but I would certainly love to. I'd love to take the next level.
Well, as a matter of fact, as far as self-defense, what you need to do is start looking up some of the Jim Carrey. What's this?
I thought you were going to say John Wick.
Oh, no. Yeah, John Wick. Wick. Yeah, that's yes. awesome. Yeah, yeah. he never misses.
All you need is a Glock, and you can take out everybody.
Dude, yeah. 300 people. Done.
But anyway, he is. We were watching this video last night. He was this instructor, karate instructor. And of course,
Jim Carrey?
Oh, like it's hilarious. Serious? It is so funny on self-defense. But it really is a smart thing, especially for ladies.
Oh yeah.
Learn how to defend yourself and
even if
get
you
out
don't
of a
like
situation.
It. Yeah. Even if you don't want to mess with it, it's like, nope, we're going to go over the basics. And if something were to happen, my whole thing is just don't be helpless. You know,
absolutely.
How terrible would it be just to sit there and be like, well, if I knew this or if I had a gun or something, I could do something, but you know,
hey, be surprised, right? A little bit of know-how and a little bit of self-accountability, responsibility, and your anxiety goes down.
Yeah.
Like maybe you could kick some of those medications if you weren't so worried about everything happening to you all the time.
Yep.
Like if you were your own level playing field and you could live in multiple conditions and multiple scenarios, like you wouldn't be so damn anxious all the time.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of things, you know, we've covered this so many times over the past few years is wisdom over fear.
That's right.
So it's just, you know, arming yourself emotionally and mentally for situations so that you don't panic and you don't have fear. You just react.
You will fail to the level of your training.
Bingo.
That's kind of where it ends. You know what I mean? That's from health to knowledge to food to hunting to life in general.
And business. Sure.
Right. And it's okay to fail, man. Fail's how you learn. Try some new stuff. Well, fellas, well, I tell you what, sure makes it easy. Being a dude, talk about dude stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to do.
Enjoyable. Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of species identification, let me just throw this out there. How come there's only male and female?
Oh, boy.
We need to get
a
petition.
Was that in Hunter's head? Do you have to ask him?
We need to get a petition going to change that.
Excuse me, Bambi. Do you identify?
Yeah.
Where's your...
You do? Bang.
Yeah. Where's your pink ribbon?
Something threw me off, though, when I was reading the brochure when I was younger and going through Hunter's Ed, is if you have like a cow tag for an elk, a bull with antlers 6 inches or less is considered a cow. So if you shoot that, then legally you're good. Same thing with deer and whatnot. But honestly, I don't know if elk even have horns less than 6 inches at their first year, because the smallest bull you see is a giant spike and they're foot and a half tall
easily.
Yeah. I don't think maybe for deer, maybe, but
yeah, I think the tag is now antlerless instead of cow.
Yes.
I think it's an antlerless tag.
Oh, okay.
It's true.
So yeah, like that's the official. So that's maybe there is a little bit of them going on.
Oh, there you go. Look out.
Yeah. They all taste pretty good.
Yeah.
That's bonus.
You got to ask them.
Yeah.
And
identify yourself.
That's right.
Them are good.
Just sit outside the animal restroom, I guess, and see who comes out of what.
Animal restroom.
Just like put your tree stand right by the animal outhouse. There you go. Male, female.
Oh, okay.
Easy duty. Bang. Well, fellas, man, been a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the time. Again, look us up, hit us up, email us, check us out.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time.
Later.